beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. And what a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. Jesus, you brought heaven down. Oh God, my sin was great, your love was greater. And what could separate? Oh, what a wonderful name, what a wonderful name it is. Oh, what a wonderful name it is.
He's that last verse one more time.
Oh, and I believe that the time is nearing. Oh, as soon as he's appearing, my brother, this could be the hour. Oh, and this could be the day. And with the saints from every nation, they're gonna lose their gravitation in the middle of the air, being called away.
Praise. You know, when I was a boy, they preached on the rapture so often that you thought it was going to happen that night. I mean, we look for the coming of the Lord. You know, today they're doing away with the doctrine of the rapture of the church. It hasn't changed biblically. He's still coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, and a bride that's looking for his appearance. Praise the Lord. Thank you, choir. Thank you, musicians. Amen. I didn't give those dates. I gave it on text and on Facebook, but the dates of East Texas Youth Conference will be March the 4th through the 6th. That's not this coming Thursday and Friday and Saturday, but the next. So March the 4th, 5th, and 6th. And it was just a miracle that we were able to get all three of our speakers, and even the churches were able to reorganize and make phone calls and get their people here. It's just a miracle. I'm just telling you, God is in it, and I believe that. This time we're going to dismiss all of our children to children's church. All the children from age 5 to 11 to children's church. Galatians, if you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to Galatians chapter number 6. Had several phone calls again that had different issues, but as a whole, our church did pretty well, and I'm so thankful for that. East Texas did very well. I read a little bit on the information of why we didn't get our electric turned off as a whole, as much as the rest of the state of Texas. It's just a blessing, because I can't even imagine what it was like to go several days without electricity. But God is good, even if you don't have electricity. Amen. He's still on the throne. He hasn't forsaken you. Even if you don't have water and electricity, and if everything goes awry on you, he hasn't changed. Amen. He's still faithful. We're not faithful as a whole, but he's always faithful. Amen. Galatians chapter number 6. And verse number 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for what we feel in the sanctuary this morning. We thank you for the Word of God that is infallible, inerrant, eternal. Lord, we know that heaven and earth one day will pass away, but your Word will endure forever. We stand upon your word today. in the midst of this wicked and perverse hour, in the midst of deception that has run rampant across this land, your word is still true. We ask you, Holy Ghost of the living God, to illuminate our hearts and our minds today that we can hear what the Spirit would say. I'm asking you, oh God, that you would speak through me. Let my lips be as an oracle. And Lord, I'm asking you to let every ear, let every heart, every mind be receptive to the voice of God. And we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, I'm going to read my text again. It says in Galatians 6 and 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I'm going to preach to you this morning on a call to perseverance. You know, when this life is over and we stand before the Almighty God, that's really all that matters is the result of that judgment. And I can tell you without fear of contradiction this morning, according to this book, that it doesn't really matter how you started off when you stand before God. What matters is, how did you finish? I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but I want to finish well. I want Him to look at me, and I want Him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in unto the joy of the Lord. I was reading and I found this very interesting scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter number 7 and verse 8. Hear what he says. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Don't minimize getting a good start, because there's nothing wrong with a good start. I believe every child of God ought to strive to start out well and do everything that we can. But the fact of the matter is, some of us haven't started out well. Some of us didn't serve the Lord since we were little children. I'm one of those. I was a rank sinner. I don't deserve to be here. But I thank God today for His precious Son and the blood that He shed 2,000 years ago. It's not how I started out, but it's how am I going to finish my race. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to finish well. I want to do everything I can in this last hour before Jesus comes back. I realized to finish well at anything in life, you must have a little bit of a grit about you, some toughness, and a made-up mind. Now, that's the physical qualities, a little grit, some toughness, and a made-up mind. Whenever you get your mind made up that you're going to get your, whenever you get your mind made up about something, that's about 80% of everything in life. You got to get your mind made up. I'm not taking away the grace of God, because the grace of God, again, is defined as God's ability for us to do what we cannot do in ourselves. It has to be my natural will, my will as a human meeting the grace of God. And I can tell you, when my will meets the grace of God, all things are possible, because whenever He steps in, we can do all things. Can I get a witness in this house? Listen, we've got to have some grit, some toughness, and a made up mind. That principle is applicable in every area of life, but especially your spiritual life. You got to get a made up mind. Listen, as I begin to observe throughout the years many Christians, I'm alarmed and troubled, wondering who's going to finish well and who will not. Who's going to finish the course? Who's going to stay in all the way? Or who's going to start off well and then trickle along the way? Listen, I've seen a whole lot of wayside Christians. My heart's broken today. They started out well just in this church. I've been here with Brother Taylor from the beginning. We're almost about a few months away from celebrating 22 years. In 22 years, I've seen a lot of things. I've seen a lot of folks come in and they'd come to the altar and they feel the convicting work of the Holy Ghost. They knew they were away from God. They would cry out to God, and for a while they would do well. Some were raised in good godly homes and they did well for a little while when they got out of the house. But because of the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this life, that choked out the word of God that was in their heart. Because of many other things, they turned away from God. And today, many of those are not serving the Lord. I'm going to tell you, I call them Christian casualties, and it's heartbreaking today. And listen, Paul the Apostle, he understood that he could have been a Christian casualty himself. Paul the Apostle said this, that he could preach to others and one day become a castaway. Don't ever let pride get a hold of your heart that you've come too far in the journey. And be careful what you say, because listen, we're all dependent on his mercy, his grace. I can't do anything without his help. Listen, but with his grace and help, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I got to keep my eyes upon him, and I got to keep my hand in his hand. And I know if I do that, everything is going to be all right. A Christian casualty, when their flame turns to embers. I've witnessed pastors, evangelists, and missionaries who were married and in love and working for God in this great kingdom. But something happened along the way. I don't know in every case exactly what happened, but their love grew cold. I can tell you it grew cold between them and God before it grew cold between them and their spouse. The key to a good, happy marriage and a long-lasting marriage is fall in love with Jesus more than your spouse. And if I fall in love with him more, I'm going to love my wife more. I don't have to be right all the time. Now, I can tell you I want to be right all the time, but I don't have to be. But I can tell you this, if I fall in love with him, I'll love her more. I'll sacrifice. I'll humble myself before the Almighty God. Do you hear what I'm saying? How is it that so many have fallen away from God? How does it happen? It doesn't happen overnight. It happens slowly. It's a process. A little here and a little there. A little compromise here and a little compromise there. Hear me this morning, church. I feel an urgency in my spirit. I feel an urgency by the Holy Ghost to call you to perseverance today. There must be a perseverance. There must be a tenacity about us to press on and to push through. An urgency, a call to persevere. And even more specifically, he's calling us individually, not just as a church to persevere, but individually we must persevere in every area of our spiritual life. The million-dollar question is this: how will you finish the course? How will I finish the course? That is the million-dollar question, and it's all up to you and I individually. Will you persevere in this last day, or will you give up and turn to the beggarly elements of the earth? Preacher, I would never do that. I would never go back to where I came from. Well, praise the name of the living God. But I'm going to tell you, I've heard that over and over again throughout the years. So many had the right attitude, but they did not depend on the Lord, and they did not stand guard over their home and their personal soul. They gave up somewhere along the journey. How will we finish? What is the definition of perseverance? There's many different definitions, but I try to narrow it down and find the best. Perseverance, a continued effort to do or achieve something despite difficulty, failure, or opposition. Basically, in essence, to persevere means we push through no matter what happens. We keep on going. We persist. We finish the course. Listen, some of us have got to get rid of the give up, quitting kind of a spirit. That has been in your natural life has bled over to your spiritual life. Some of us have got to get eradicated. I'm going to just give up. Some folks run every time trouble comes. Go ahead, sister. We run. The only thing we know to do is run. Whenever we feel the pressure of life, whenever we feel things aren't going as we plan them in a situation, amen, what do we want to do? We want to get out of the situation. That's not the plan of God every single time for you to get out. No, he wants you to go through it. There's a process that he's trying to work something in us. And listen, if I never had a problem, I'd never know that God could solve it. I'd never know what faith in God could do. Listen, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. Through it all, I have learned to trust in God. I'm talking to you today about a call of perseverance, a call to push through, a call to finish the course. I read a very interesting story. A great, very renowned Pentecostal preacher had a vision of the last day church. It was very troubling when I read this. He said it was a man in this vision. He was rowing a boat against the strong current. He was pushing. He was pushing that boat. And in the vision, another very luxurious boat passed him. It was full of people. It was going the opposite direction. This man said in this vision, this man that was pushing against the current, he watched the luxurious boat go by, but he kept on rowing. He kept on pushing. Before long, he became weary in his journey of pushing so hard because the luxurious boat, those in the boat, they mocked him. They laughed and they thought, what foolishness. How silly that is to push against this stream. Just go with the stream. He became discouraged and he put down his oars. He began to flow backwards downstream, and soon he met another larger boat full of people. Now this man was pushing upstream, and he had rested, and his boat began to push back, but his boat was still pointed upstream. And the first boat was pointed downstream, but he came in contact with this other boat that was still pointed upstream that was going downstream. He had the idea, well, they're pointing in the same direction that I'm pointed in. But they were still having a good time. They were partying on that boat and they were just enjoying life. And there's nothing wrong with enjoying life, amen? But they were pointed upstream and he got the idea. I'm just going to join them. I'm going to get into that boat because they're still pointed in the same direction. They're just going backwards. And it wasn't long and the boat disappeared out of the vision of this man that had it. He began to pray and he said the Lord gave him the interpretation of the vision. He said the vision depicts three types of people. Number one, the unbeliever who just flows with the current, oblivious to reality. They're wanting, wanting, wanting. The next person is the believer. It's the man rowing against the current. He must press, press, press in the fight of faith to attain kingdom advancement. And the third, the boat that was full of people that was still pointed in the right direction, but they were going downstream, is the deceived. And they hide their motive. They're constantly wanting, wanting, wanting through Christian appearance and misuse of Scripture. Then he goes on to say this. The river represents the world, and the rowboat is our human body that enables us to live and function in the world. The man in the rowboat is the believer with his oars symbolizes God's unmerited grace. The party boat depicts these joined in one purpose, and the river current represents the flow of this world, which is under the sway of the evil one. By the oars of grace, the man has the ability to move upstream to his destiny to advance the kingdom. His physical strength represents his faith. But sadly in this story, the man's strength wanes and grows weary in the fight. I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I preach it all the time. God's grace representing the oars. God's grace is his ability. But our faith has to be enacted with his ability to get the job done. I'm going to tell you something. Our God is a good God. And I can tell you, if you will press on, if you will put forth an effort, do we save ourselves? No, we can't save ourselves. It's because of what he did on the cross 2,000 years ago. But I'm going to tell you, there is a pressing that you and I have got to make up our mind that we're going to do. We got to push, we got to press, we got to persist, and we must persevere, because all the powers of hell want to stop you and want you to join in with it. And if you do, you'll lose your soul. Revelation chapter 2 and 3, there are seven churches of Minor Asia that John the Revelator is speaking of. He gets this vision, the revelation of Jesus Christ. You study this. The church of Ephesus, the first church, she left her first love. And then you go all the way through to Smyrna, Pergamos, and all the way to Laodicea. They all had different issues. There was one church that really had nothing wrong with her. He was encouraging that church, but Every single church at the end, at the benediction of that letter was this: to him that overcometh will I give. Let me tell you something. Unless you overcome, you're not going to get. We've got to press through. We've got to overcome some things. I don't believe just getting it one time and it's going to get you all the way to heaven. No way. That is not the word of God. There are some things we got to get victory over. Amen. We got to overcome some things, and I can't do it in myself, but with God's grace and help, I can overcome this world, the sin of this world. I can overcome this flesh. Oh, hear me, church. What a vision that this man had of the last days that we're living in. Compromise, hear me, compromise is an antonym of perseverance. It's the opposite. You cannot compromise and be okay. You cannot compromise and persevere at the same time. Jesus warned us in the last days sin would be rampant. Listen to what he says in Matthew 24 and 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. Who is Jesus talking about when he says this? When he says that he that endures until the end shall be saved, was he talking about the world? Was he talking about sinful society? Absolutely not. He was talking about the church. He was talking about those who claim to follow him. Why else would he make this statement with, but those that endure until the end, the same shall be saved? You don't have to say that to a non-believer. They're not enduring, they're doing their own thing. He was talking to the Christian. And in no uncertain terms, he's basically saying this: if you finish the race, you will be saved. But if you don't finish the race, you will not be saved. Listen, you might be saying, well, Brother Matt, you're preaching against once saved, always saved. You're absolutely, positively right. I'm preaching against that because I don't believe once in the kingdom, always in the kingdom. You got to overcome. You got to persevere. You got to persist because the Bible says that we are. Listen, Jesus said, many will seek to enter in and shall not be able. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying there must be a perseverance. There must be a tenacity. There must be a grit coupled with God's grace to overcome. Yes, you must turn from sin. You must walk away from it. Listen, I believe that the adulterer can be saved, but he's got to repent of his adultery. What does that mean, preacher? That means repent and get out of it. I believe the fornicator can be saved, but you got to walk away, turn from that sin. I believe the homosexual can be saved, amen? But he's got to get out of that wicked lifestyle and come to the bleeding side of a holy Savior. I still believe in the blood that can cleanse all manner of sin. But ladies and gentlemen, you got to walk away from that sin. Be ye holy, for I am holy. That's the word of God. And there's 150 places that preach that. Listen, you don't be careful if you come to me with a once saved, always saved doctrine, because I can tell you there's 100-to-1 scriptures that would debunk that false theology. Oh, come on, church. I'm talking about there's a call by the Holy Ghost in this hour to perseverance, pushing through. Don't you give up. Don't you give in. Don't you dare throw in the towel. We're almost home, church. I believe Jesus is about to come back for a blood-bought child of God. Don't you dare give up, give in, or throw in the towel. We're almost home. I can almost see the lights of the city. I believe Jesus is about to get us out of here. Divine truth, hear me. Divine truth is not trendy. What's trending in the world today? It ain't divine truth. I can promise you that. Oh, it won't be long, and I'm really going to be in trouble. Well, let me get in trouble, because I'm going to preach it. I'll preach it from the prison cell. They'll have to put a muzzle over my mouth, and I'll hum divine truth. I'm telling you, he is truth, and it's wrapped up in one person. His name is Jesus Christ, the risen Son of God, and there is no other way to heaven but by the blood of the cross. Don't you dare ever compromise and think that you can get in any other way. There is a false doctrine today being taught that divine truth is evolving. That if Jesus was here today, that he would be okay with the things that are going on in society because truth evolves with the times and with the seasons. Let me tell you something. That was Satan. I believe that came in Satan's mind. It wasn't one of his prince demons. I believe the devil thought of that himself because divine truth. If he was here, he would accept this because with society and the times, Jesus changes. Listen, there's never been a greater lie because Jesus said, I'm the same yesterday, today and forever. This Bible will never change. Men change. Denominations change. A lot of things change. Your love can change. But one thing that will never change is the written, authoritative word of the Most High God. I can stand on the word today and I will not fall. Truth is not evolving. According to a national survey, only 46% of professing Christians believe in absolute moral truth. What does that mean? That means that 46% now professing Christians believe that this is absolute. 50% of professing Christians believe people can attain heaven through avenues other than the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Pull it up on YouTube. I'm going to hurt your feelings, but and I pray he's repented. But Billy Graham has said that. T.D. Jakes has said that. When they have traveled the world and they just believe that there are other ways to God. But let me tell you something. That's a lie according to this book right here. And I ain't going to believe what man says. I'm going to believe what the Word of the living God says. Let me tell you, there is no other way to heaven except through the righteous Son of God. Listen, he is the only bridge between heaven and earth. I'm a Jesus man. What do you mean, preacher? Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the afternoon, and Jesus at night. He is the love of my life, and he is the fulfillment of my sin-sick soul. No wonder Paul tells us in the last days, listen to what Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned of them. I love this next verse. And that from a child thou hast learned the Holy Scriptures. Oh, give me a wave offering. If you say, I have learned the Holy Scriptures as a child, and that's the word comes back to me. He said, learning as a child, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Oh, what do you mean, preacher? I mean every single thing in this book is inspired by Almighty God. You either take every verse or leave it all. You can't pick and choose. It is all inspired by God. And listen to this next part. He says, it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. So 2/3 of our preaching should be reproof and correction. 1/3 instruction in righteousness. Listen to me, I hear the Holy Ghost speaking to us today. There's a call to perseverance in this hour. Listen, many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success before they gave up. What do you mean by that, preacher? What do you mean success? I mean, we oftentimes stop praying one day, one week short of a miracle. How many times have I been prevailing in prayer and did not see the answer come, and I just gave up. I was discouraged and I just said, I guess it's just not the will of God. And the devil sit back and say, perfect. That's exactly what I wanted him to do. I wanted him to get discouraged that he wouldn't keep on prevailing. Listen, if you'll prevail with God in prayer, we will see miracles come to pass. You say, well, I just don't ever think my grandchildren are going to be saved. Listen, if you keep prevailing in prayer, they got a better chance of being saved than you ever dreamed. The devil, his worst nightmare is a praying man or woman of God who will not give up, give in, or throw in the towel, who persevere through all of the struggles of life. We conquer in life by continuing. We conquer in life by continuing. We conquer in life by continuing. We conquer in life by continuing, by getting knocked down and getting back up. I tell the story through the years. My brother, he was 2 years older than me, and we'd wrestle outside like good brothers are supposed to do. He'd get on top of me, and he would slap my face, and I was crying. Tears were coming out of my eyes. I was about 8 or 9 years old, and he's 2 years older, and he would say, "You give up?" And with tears coming out of my face, I'd say, "I ain't never giving up." Oh, whenever he'd get up, I'd get up, I'd go after him again, and he'd get me down again. But I can tell you, he didn't kill the fight in me, and that's what you and I've got to get back. The devil's killed the fight in some of you, and some of you need to get it back. You need to cry out to the Lord. "Lord, give me a spirit again to fight, to press on, to persevere, not with a spirit of the flesh and the world, but with a humility and the love of Almighty God. Stand up for what's right at the right time." I'm telling you, I'm not giving up. With God's help, I'm not giving up. The Christian life is not a 100-yard dash, it's a marathon. I ran the 100-yard dash in high school, but the marathon about killed me. What was a marathon to you? I mean, 4 times around that lap. I still remember Bullard High School. I mean, I thought I was dying. Ooh. 1 full mile. How fast can you run a full mile? I'm going to tell you something. Anybody can start off fast out the blocks. But what about that individual that has to endure the testings and the trials every single day? What about that individual that says, "You know what, this is happening today, but I'm going to keep my eyes on the Lord." Anybody can give up. Anybody can throw in the towel. Listen, we've got to persevere. Hebrews 12:1. "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Oh, listen, there is a race set before us, ladies and gentlemen. It's time to run with patience. Are you tired? Well, just keep on running anyway. Are you weary in your mind? Keep on pressing on anyway. Listen, just the moment you think that you can't go any further, God will give you something inside of you that will help you to press on. You can continue on, and you can win the prize. Calvin Coolidge said this: "Press on. Nothing in the world can take the place of perseverance. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Education will not. Press on," he says. Perseverance, the made-up mind that says, "I am not giving up." I close with 3 benefits to the person who will persevere. Do you want to persevere? You don't want to be a casualty of war. So many started off right. So many believe the word in its fullness, but because of situations, the bad things that happen in a church. There's bad things that can happen in a church. But because of that, they had an excuse. They were hurt. They were offended. Something took place traumatic, and they moved away from what they knew. Do you hear me? Something traumatic in their life took place. Sometimes it's not so much traumatic. They just moved away slowly. 3 benefits to the person who will persevere. 1, your faith will be purified and it will be shown to be real. 1 Peter 1:6. "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried as it by fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." This was written to Christians who were being persecuted. Well, we're not. Hold on. I'm not here to frighten you, because we have nothing to fear with persecution. We're going to be persecuted if you continue to live on this planet. But we're in America. If you continue to live on this planet, get ready, persecution is coming. Are you going to give in? Are you going to stop rowing against the tide? And are you going to let yourself go backwards? And before long, join the masses of people. Listen, whenever we persevere, our faith is shown to be real. The impurities are removed whenever the fiery trial is to try us. Whenever fire is put to gold, what happens? It's purified. It's melted, and all the impurities come to the top. So what do? They take a lintel and they scrape the top and they remove all the impurities. That gold goes back to its natural state, but it's purified. It's the same principle with you and I. You say, well, why isn't God here? Why did he allow me to go through this? What does he, has he forsaken me? Does he not love me? No, he does love you. That's why he allowed you to go through that trial. But we're commanded to persevere. Now, in the trial, you're either going to do one of two things. You're going to give up, throw in the towel, or you're going to persevere. You're going to get through it, and you're going to be purified. Number two, perseverance develops character. I had a brother of mine say that he talked to an older Assembly of God minister, and I doctrinally we're Assembly of God 100%. So, gentlemen, he was a man of God, but he made a ludicrous statement. There was an issue going on, and he goes, this younger minister said to the older minister, he said, brother, I know it's bad, but God's just, he'll develop character in this. And he said, I got enough character. He's mad. Don't say that. Because you don't have enough character, and I don't have enough character. Perseverance develops character. James 1 and 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect in entire, wanting nothing. Listen, we don't rejoice in trials for the sake of trials themselves, but we rejoice rather that we are being changed. We rejoice in the result of the trial. I can tell you, I've experienced some painful things as you have experienced painful things. I am not begging for that painful thing to happen again. I'm not begging for it, but I can tell you, I wouldn't take anything for it. Because it was through that trial that I learned, that I grew, that I was developed. Some of the strongest Christians I've ever met in my life are those that have been through some of the most difficult, painful things, and they overcame. What doesn't kill you will make you stronger. Through the COVID-19 pandemic, we've learned some things. And if it didn't kill you, God bless the families that have suffered through that pandemic. My heart goes out to them. But those who persevered, it has made us stronger as a church. It has done some churches in, but it has made this church and other churches stronger. Listen, perseverance, pushing through. What do we do here? There are people who committed suicide just because of the pressure of COVID-19 and all the things in society because everything's shutting down. Listen, they didn't persevere through that. Listen, I didn't want to go through it, and I don't want to go through it again. But something, God did something inside of me. I'm not the same man in 2021 that I was in 2020 because I got through that thing, and God did something in me, and he did something in you. How do you know, preacher? Because you're here this morning. You're still going on with God. You haven't thrown in the towel. You've persevered. And God is going to get the glory. What about this ice storm? What about this snow that's just happened? Why Texas? Why now? How many of you have learned some things during this storm? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to find a really good generator. Now, I didn't have to use one, But you know what? I'm going to find me some good heaters, some secondary heating for that generator and whatever else I have to do. You know what else I did? I went on Amazon during this freeze and I bought some life straws where I could drink water out of a pond just in case. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you, I've learned some things. I ain't the same guy. I can tell you, I can be ready. I'll be ready the next time. Although I didn't have my electricity or water turned off, I can tell you if I do, you come on and slurp out of that straw. We got a pond down in the woods back there, and we're going to be okay. But I learned some things. I persevered. You persevered. We got through it, and we're stronger today because of it. I'm telling you, God is doing something through the trials and adversity. Can someone come to the piano? Number three, what will perseverance help you? What will it do for you? I can tell you what it'll do in the end. It'll give you eternal life. Again, over and over again throughout the Word of God, it deals with perseverance, overcoming, getting through, not giving up, closing the deal, finishing strong. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm telling you, it is a Bible doctrine. It's not a full gospel doctrine. It's not an Assembly of God doctrine. It's not a Baptist doctrine. Well, it's not a Methodist doctrine. I'm telling you, it's a biblical doctrine. It's overcoming. It's getting through whatever life brings your way. Eternal life will be given at the end. James 1 and 12 says this: blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to him that love him. Can we stand? There's a call by the Holy Ghost for you and I to persevere. This is the kind of church that perseveres. This is the kind of people who persevere. I believe that the majority of the Christians in this house are serious-minded Christians. That's the kind of Christians that are attracted to this church, because there's other serious-minded Christians here. I mean, you love God. You're faithful to God in all areas. In your giving financially, in your attendance, in your prayers, in your labor of love, there's faithfulness here. Faithfulness. But I felt compelled, and I believe by the Holy Ghost, to tell you, you better get locked in to Him. Because in the last days, if it were possible, Jesus said, the very elect will be deceived. Deception's moving across this land. As I'm closing, let me ask you, as I told you the vision that the man of God had, one man in the boat. The oars represent the grace of God. His physical strength represents his faith that just keeps on rowing. Families will leave you. Friends will leave you. You feel forsaken and you feel forgotten, but you keep rowing. Keep rowing. One day you'll receive a crown of life. Is that you? Are you the man or woman in the boat that just keeps on, you're persistent? Or are you here this morning and you're a part of the large, luxurious boat that it just moves with the trends of time? It just goes with the flow. I've heard some brothers say, hey, when it comes to my marriage, I go along to get along. That's not what I'm talking about. They're flowing with the currents of life. Whatever's trendy in the church world. Don't become a trendy person. Well, the luxurious boat was pointed back downstream. That was the lost. That was the unregenerate. That was the person that didn't even know God. They didn't pretend to be a Christian. Is that you today? You're racing towards judgment. In the end is eternal damnation, but God loves you. God loves you with a love that you'll never ever be able to comprehend. The love of God is so awesome. And He loves you and He wants to save you. If that's you, God wants to save you today. If you feel that convicting work of God, that uncomfortable feeling right here where you're thinking everybody's looking at you. You're thinking, man, how does He know? Why is this happening? That's the Holy Ghost. Is that you today? Or are you a part of the other group where your boat's pointed in the right direction? You know all of the cliches of religion. You want to get to heaven. You talk the talk. But you're going with the flow with your boat pointed towards the right direction, but you're not going in the right direction. You've got into a group of people in the church world that's compromised that word. Is that you? Is that you today? You're in that boat. Your boat's pointed in the right direction, upstream, but you're going downstream with everyone in that religious circle, having a good time. Why worry? Why fret? Why be so concerned? God's grace is sufficient. Yes, it is sufficient. But the will of man must meet the grace of God. Do you hear me? I said the will of man must meet the grace of God, and nothing can pluck us out of the hand of God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I've preached what You put in my spirit today. You knew who was going to be here. You know who's watching on Facebook. You know who's going to watch this program later. You know and You care. You're talking to us, Holy Ghost. You're giving us a call to persevere, to push, to last until the end. There's a call. Lord, we feel that call today. We feel Holy Ghost conviction right now. I'm asking You to strengthen us at these altars today. If that's you, every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. If that's you, you say, I'm away from God. I don't even pretend. You're in a better boat. Hear me. You're racing towards judgment. But if you're an admitted sinner away from God, you don't pretend. You're in a better place than that one that's playing church. If that's you today, God wants to save you. I want you to slip up that hand. You say, preacher, I need you to pray for me. Slip up that hand. Put it back down. God sees this hand. Anyone else in this house? That's me, preacher. I need the grace of God. I'm away from God. I don't even pretend. Now here's the next group of people. Your boat's pointing in the right direction, but you're not heading in the right direction. You've grouped with a society in the religious world that's going to pull you away from God. Because of circumstances, hurt, and past situations, you've left your roots. And you just found out today that you've left those roots. God's going to help you at these altars. The other one is those that are rowing, rowing, rowing. You feel weary, you feel tired, you feel like you're laying down your oars or is right there. You're about to do it. Please, please, please don't do it. We're almost home, church. We're almost home. Don't you dare lay down those oars. Those oars represent the grace of God. You can't do it without those oars because we can't do anything without the grace of God. But at the same time, the energy represents faith. Without faith, you can do nothing. Hebrews 11 and 8 says, but without faith it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that He is and a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I'm going to ask us all to come and stand around this altar. Let's move in very close. Let's come and stand around these altars. God's given us a call this morning. A call to perseverance, to push, to press, to overcome, to not give in, to not wear out, to not throw in the towel. We're almost home, church. Can we move in as close as we can to the front?
We press on.
We're almost home. If you're in that boat of compromise, please get out of that boat. You may have to press against the current by yourself. It's okay. It's okay. God, He's with you in the midst of all of your struggles and your trials. He is an ever-present help in the time of need. Can we lift our hands? Lord, I'm asking you for a special grace, a special help during this hour. Pressure, struggles, and trials. Oh, yes, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Lord, I cry out to you today that you would deal with hearts. Oh, God, that are away from you. You know you care. Let Holy Ghost conviction do its perfect work in this place. In the name of the Lord. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's time.